We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, great Friday to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I got so much to talk about today, I don't even know where to start. But we'll start with the weather. Currently right now, it is 61 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 38. Wind is north 25 miles an hour, gusting up to a whopping 32 miles an hour. It's breezy out there. And I will have the Hobart Farm and Garden long ranger forecast coming to you later on in the hour. It looks pretty good, actually. It's going to get chilly tonight, but maybe chilly tomorrow night. So I'm taking a wild guess that there's going to be, after it warms up tomorrow, the peanut farmers will be going full blast with peanut digging. There's a lot of cotton out there defoliated, so there's going to be pretty busy. I caught wind from a friend of mine that was traveling through the Roosevelt area and down in there around Fort Sill and Tipton and Frederick down in there. The cotton was beautiful, and they were harvesting cotton left and right. And I've seen a lot of cotton coming down 152 here between Cordell and Thusair, headed out to, I'm guessing, Pampa. But it's a busy time of the year. Hey, I got one set of tickets left to the GNS Gun Show tomorrow. Two tickets. The first person to text in with their name, you got to say your name, text your name in, "I love farmers and ranchers," you get a free set of tickets. So anyway, you text it in to the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. You can text on that line to me anytime you want. If you got any comments or anything. Yesterday, Abby Snaberger was in here from Carnegie. And I tell you what, between having her in here and having Jancy Ripito in here since I started the show, watching these two girls, Jancy and Addie, how they handle themselves and how intelligent they are, and then having a lot of common sense to go with it and how hard they work with their animals, I have a better outlook for our future generation of kids raised out here on the farm and the ranch, because those two girls really impressed me. Addie yesterday, she inspired me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little segment on lambs and goats today. And I'm going to start doing, I've been planning on it anyway, but she inspired me to speed that inspiration up. But anyway, I'm going to do a sheep and goat market report at least once every 2 weeks, if not just once a month, depending on how the market is. But I did a little research on the lamb and goat meat deal, and here it is. Demand for lamb and goat meat has continued to rise during the last 15 years due to increases in ethnic groups who eat these meats for specific holidays, as well as increasing demand for food service industries. Currently, the majority of available goat meat consists of frozen carcasses imported from Australia, New Zealand, and Mexico. But demand for the fresh meat is high, and livestock prices reflect that. The 5-year average for 40 pounds to 60 pound kids is $282.23 per hundredweight, reaching over $400 in some months of this year, 2021. Not only do sheep and goats have the potential to be a profitable livestock enterprise, they can do so by turning invasive and weedy plant species, blackberry, greenbrier, sumac, is all that deals, into a sellable product. Adding sheep and goats to existing operations can help maintain pastures as grasslands rather than allowing woody plant species to convert them to woodlands. Although less prevalent in Oklahoma than cattle, our state has approximately 52,000 sheep and 91,000 goats, and producers need to know where to market their livestock. And on the OSU Extension website, there is a list of these directories, and I think one of Mountain View, I think that one closed down, and that's why Hobart's not having one this month. They're having one next month, and it's the first Saturday in November. They switched their date, so remember that. Hobart Livestock, or the auction barn down there, will not be having a goat sale and sheep sale this month. It's next month. So anyway, it's got recommendations on here to receive the highest prices for your livestock. Choose the best location and timing to sell. That goes with anything, cattle, whatever. And during the past 25 years, prices have typically been highest from January through April, with fewer kids, and I'm talking about goat and sheep kids, not kids, are being sold, not regular kids, not our human kids. Anyway, although selling market-ready animals when prices are highest may be wise, kidding earlier to sell in January through April will likely require more intensive management than kidding later, and I'm not kidding about that. Like supplement feeds and shelters from winter weather, certain holidays and celebrations where goat is traditionally served can also influence prices. And so, like I said, for more information on this, you can go to OSU Extension website and just Google goats in there and it'll come up. Goats and sheep. There's actually 23 livestock auctions in Oklahoma for sheep and goats. I didn't know that. I just thought there was a handful. They got lots of auctions going on in here. So I'm impressed with that. And we got today's cash prices on our grains. Hard red winter wheat is $7.01 per bushel. Soybeans is $11.32. Milo is $5.05, and corn is at $5.35. Looks like everything come up overnight, so something must have happened, and I'll read it to you. Soybeans and grains were higher in overnight trading amidst continued demand for U.S. supplies. Exporters reported sales of another 132,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to an unnamed buyer in the 2021-22 marketing year that started on September 1st, the USDA reported yesterday. The following sales of 330,000 metric tons to China and 198,000 tons to an unknown country that were announced on Wednesday. Corn sales also were robust this week. The USDA said an unknown destination purchased 161,554 metric tons and that Mexico bought 165,000 metric tons from the U.S. supplies. The agency's weekly export sales report, usually released on Thursdays, is scheduled to come out today due to Columbus Day. So this is just the latest information we got that I can find. Soybean oil was also rising in overnight trading as the price of palm oil, rival cooking oil, continued to surge. Malaysia palm oil prices were higher overnight due to the possibility of weaker global exports this year. Soybean futures for November delivery was up 9 cents to $12.15 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal rose to $3.50 to $317.60 a short ton, while soy oil gained 50.56 cents to 61 cents a pound. Corn futures for delivery, December delivery, gained 6 1/4 to $5.23 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery added 9.5 cents to $7.34 and a quarter a bushel, while Kansas City rose 11.5 cents to $7.42 a bushel. Ethanol production hits higher levels since July, first 2 or 3 months I was doing this show, it was going down. Now the last month it's going up, which is good. Ethanol output last week topped the million barrel a day mark for the first time in more than 2 months, while inventories continue to decline, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production of biofuel jumped to an average of 1.032 million barrels a day in the week that ended October 8th, the EIA said in this report that was delayed due to Columbus Day. That's up from 978,000 barrels a day on the average the previous week and the highest level since July 9th, government data has showed. It's also the first time production has averaged more than 1 million barrels a day since July 30th. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output was 977,000 barrels a day last week, up from 937,000 barrels previous week, and the highest level since July 16th. East Coast production doubled to an average of 12,000 barrels a day last week, while the Gulf Coast output surged to 25,000 barrels a day, up from 16,000 barrels a day from last week. Rocky Mountain output was unchanged week to week at 11,000 barrels a day. West Coast output was the lone decliner for the week, falling to an average of 8,000 barrels a day from 9,000 barrels a day a week earlier, the agency said. So there's your outlook on that, on ethanol. I'm sure out there in California they're down because the trucks ain't moving, according to all the social media, but you can't figure, you can't believe anything. Well, looks like we got us a winner. Taylor Tindall down there, Willow Way. He's the first one to text in. He loves farming and ranching, and I know that young man does. He did good. I had 11 texts, so thank you for texting in. And you guys don't go nowhere. We're going to take a short break, but towards the end of the show, I'm going to give away some tickets if anybody wants to go see the Confederate Railroad and Kentucky Headhunters over at Sugar Creek Casino. We got a couple sets of tickets to give away towards the end of the hour. So don't go nowhere and continue participating. So you've been listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts. And what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust. and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Bam, I'm back. 62 degrees. The wind is out of the north at 23 miles an hour. Gusting up to a whopping 28. It was up in the 30s all ago, but anyway, it just depends on when I get on the weather. Got some hot news out of Kansas City. See, that's on the Missouri side. Yeah, it's on the Missouri side. I was wanting to say Kansas City, Kansas, but it's Kansas City, Missouri. Doesn't matter. They're the same town. Karch Carlson has championed Burke at the American Royal this morning. He got it this morning. And that pig was raised by the Hartman Farms out of Sayre, Oklahoma. So congratulations to them. And my partner in crime here on the show, Jancy Ripito, is going to be showing here in the next 30 or 40 minutes. If I get an update on her from about her showing, I'll let you guys know how she done. Last year, she did really good up there. And there was some other people did good up there. So anyway, our 4-H and FFK kids from our local listening area is out kicking butt in the Kansas City area. So anyways, it's a great deal. If anybody wants to watch that stock show, you can get on the American Royal webpage and find the stock show and see what's happening up there if you want to. We got all kinds of things going on here. Also, I want to remind people, if you ain't got nothing to do tomorrow over at Sayre at the golf course, the Sayre FFA and 4-H boosters will be having a four-man scramble tomorrow. So if you nothing to do, go over there. $75 a guy, $300 a team, four-man scramble. Check in at 8:30. Tee off at 9. It's going to be a little cool in the morning, but I was looking at the hourly deal. By 9:30 or 10 o'clock, you'll be back in shorts and everything. The wind's not going to be blowing like today, so it's going to be a beautiful day out there. And they have a 70% payback on the winnings there. And they're also selling. You can go to the school secretaries at the Sayre Elementary School, or you can go down to the Sayre Co-op. They're selling a lifetime fishing and hunting license that they get from the Wildlife Department for $20 a chance. That's $775 license right now. So go by there and buy a chance and help support our 4-H and FFA deals. If anybody out there in the listening area, I don't care if it's Ellis, Dewey, Roger Mills, Kiowa, Jackson, over at Wheeler, Shamrock, if you guys got anything going on with your 4-H and FFA, text in here to me at 225-9697, and I will announce it. I promise you, I love my FFA and 4-H people. So I got your back if you'll just let me know what's going on. I can't not research. We have a big area here, and I cannot get it all researched. Also, I wanted to say today, there's a lot of bull sales and cow sales are going to be coming up in the next 3 to 4 or 5 months. If you're having a bull sale or a cow replacement sale, anything going on at your ranch or you're participating in and you want me to put it on the show, I will. My email is simple to remember. You can email me the information. It's Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, at KECOFM.com. It don't get any easier than that. Jimmy at KECOFM.com, and I'll have your back on it. I'll announce anything you got going on with the bull and cow replacement or heifers, whatever you want to do. Just let me know, and I will take care of you. I seen something today that's kind of interesting. It's an online auction only put on by Grants, but if you guys are looking for some longhorn cattle, they're selling 24 head of longhorns online only this Monday, the 18th of October, 8 a.m. through Sunday, November 7th. The auction will close 5 o'clock on November 7th. The owner's John West, but I just thought it was neat. They got some pictures on there that I seen on Facebook. They got one longhorn bull, one longhorn cow, heifer, calf pair, 9 longhorn cows, 2 longhorn heifers, 5 longhorn heifer calves, and 5 longhorn bull calves. So if you're wanting to increase your herd since that game last week, you know, Texas popularity down there at Austin has become more. I'm sorry I had to say that. But anyway, if you want some longhorns, I know lots of people love having longhorns on their place. Several of these longhorns, which is interesting to me, have the LV Baker Ranch brand. And I remember going to school. I went to school with Karen Baker, Doc Baker's daughter, and we went up there numerous times to the Baker Ranch on field trips, and they take pride in taking care of their longhorns. So you guys, more than welcome to check that out on Grant's Auction. Check it out online if you're interested in that. Also, we got, guess what today is? Today is opening season of youth rifle hunt. And so I've been checking social media. I've seen a couple of big monsters, but they've been from outside the listening area. So I've been looking for one of our local kids to go out and shoot a big one. But just of interest, if you guys are do get one, whether you get it with your archery and or it's a youth hunt, or when muzzleloader comes up here in next week, towards next weekend, I believe that's the right date. Keith's Butcher Shop in Burns Flat, they will be processing deer. And on their Facebook page, they've got the prices listed and the whole nine yards. I don't know if Ray's doing them yet at Canute. I don't know if he does rifle only, but I think he does it the whole season. But Ray, text into the hotline, because I know you got the number because you won tickets yesterday, and tell me if you are processing deer or not. So just let me know so I don't have you being over. I don't care if they're old morel. Hey, I'm give out your phone number on the radio too if you want me to. But check that out. And then we got the Hobart Livestock Auction. Hobart Stockyards had their deal Wednesday, and they had some pretty good sale, looks like. 400-pound to 500-pound steers, average weight $4.69. We're bringing up to $1.83 a pound. 600-pound to 700-pound steers, average weight $6.75, was bringing up to $1.41. We got 800-pound to 900-pound steers. We're bringing up average weight $8.59. We're bringing up to $1.10 on the average. Heifers, we got some 4 to 5 weights. Average $4.50. We're bringing up to $1.36.50. We got some 700-pound to 800-pound heifers. Average weight $7.45. Up to $1.38. And then we had some big heifers that were 1,000 and over, averaged 1,087. They was bringing up to $1.07. Cows, 1,000 and over, average weight 1,161, bringing up to 71 cents a pound. And then we got some bulls, 1,000 and over, average weight 1,468, brought up to $86 per hundred weight. So it sounds like they had a good sale down at Hobart. Actually, right now, today, we got Elk City Livestock Auction going on out there right now. Hurry up out there. And but the calf market's just getting ready to start. They had a huge sale last Friday. 500 cows went through there. That's a lot of cows. And their meal was good. I ate there the whole nine yards. They got a really good meal. Those ladies are lovely, and they're nice, and they take care of you. And then Monday, we got the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at Clinton, east of Clinton. They're on I-40, Cherokee Trading Post, and they'll be busy. So if you guys have any needs, call Mr. Brandon Hickey. And by the way, when I seen him Friday, I told him by popular demand that he needs to come back in here and see me, because everybody loved having him on the show, and he was really sharp, and he knows his cattle. So come on, Brandon. Take a vacation for one day. Come see me at the noon show. So anyway, well, when we get back, we'll talk. I got some cotton news for you. I got some cattle news for you. And since we've been so busy, Lacey took up my extra time Tuesday for Hay Day Tuesday. I got your weekly hay report. Briefly go over that. So we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 8th. 2,216 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 411 brought 183. 7 at 522 brought 155. 14 at 591 brought 140.50. 10 at 615 brought 140. 6 at 675 brought 135.50. 6 at 735 brought 142. 14 head of heifers at 349 brought 149. 3 at 502 brought 134. 5 at 607 brought 133. 23 at 670 brought 127.75. 17 at 724 brought 137.50. 3 at 958 brought 116.50. Butcher cows were 5 to 70. Bred cows 460 to 1375. Butcher bulls 55.50 to 90. Pairs brought 975 to 1375. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. It is currently 62 degrees, unless that thing didn't update. Nope, it didn't update. 63 degrees, winds out of the north-northeast now, 23 miles an hour, gusting up to 30 miles an hour. And after our next break, I will have the big old long ranger forecast sponsored by Hobart Farm and Garden. Anybody want to win some tickets to the Kentucky Headhunters or the Confederate Railroad? What was that song by the Kentucky Headhunters? Oh, let's all go down to Dumas Walker's. That's what it is. That was a great song back in the day. Anyway, it's this Saturday. It's tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Sugar Creek Casino. If you want to win these tickets, let's see, what are we going to do? Text in with your name. Don't forget your name. You're a loser if you don't text your name in and say, I hope it doesn't freeze tonight. How's that? That's kind of stupid, but anyway, that's the way I am. Yeah, hope it doesn't freeze tonight because some these guys got some crops on top of the ground and they don't need a freeze. Just they don't need it. So anyway, text that in. And Taylor, you won tickets while ago. They'll be up front, but there's an employee meeting after my show today, so it'll probably be 2:30-ish or something before you can pick them up at the front desk at the radio station. And same thing goes with these Kentucky Headhunter and Confederate Railroad tickets. So if anybody wants to win that in, just text it in. And it's already lighting up. So out of curiosity, let's check it out. Here we go. looks like Melody Weldon. You're our winner. I tell you what, I got it extra set. There was one, they come in at the same time, but it's went in order. Brandy Walker, you can. I'm going to put your name on a set, too, because I had two sets to give away. So you two guys, your reason for the – what? Oh, the reason for the employee meeting is we're going to talk about micro and parasite organisms and multiple organisms. So don't worry about it. We got this meeting covered, if you nosy people out there listening. So anyway, we got that going on. Well, let me get back to the show here before we get in trouble. Cotton futures rose rapidly over recent weeks as speculators began buying for potentially big profits based on expectations that prices would go up, according to the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service expert. Anyway, the rally has been good for Texas and Oklahoma cotton growers who have negotiated prices during the rally or who still have cotton to sell, said John Robinson, Ph.D., in other words, Professor AgriLife Extension Cotton Market Economicist at the Bryan College Station. But he suspects the spike in buying and climbing prices is nearing the end. Factors on weighing in the cotton prices, he said. Mr. Robinson said that the cotton price rally started 3 weeks ago when it became clear prices would be up and the numbers of future contracts helped by long speculators were targeting cotton. The speculative buying pushed prices higher, but he said it's unclear what negative cropping and production factors were pushing these futures purchases. Issues pushing the price increase could be the rain in the U.S. cotton belt or problems with cotton crops in India or production issues in China, including import bans for cotton produced by Uyghur minorities in slave labor camps in northwestern parts of that country. But those factors alone should not be enough to cause the 25 cent per pound jump over the last 3 weeks from 80 cents to 90 cents per pound up to $1.14 pound for the December futures. Robinson says conditions are bullish for cotton with strong demand, but the supply side and what is creating the strong demand are less clear. He said that there is evidence for strong demand related by large buys of U.S. cotton based on the Phase 1 trade agreements that reduced or removed tariffs from the trade war with China. Export demand for U.S. cotton triggered a 45-cent rally that took per-pound prices from 50 cents on April 1st of 2020 to 95 cents by March 2021. That sustained price rally was driven by global textile manufacturing ramped up as mills reopened and increased capacity following initial COVID-19 related shutdowns. But historically, price rally patterns influenced by speculation are volatile and short-lived, Robinson said. This week is the third week of the rally and there has been some selling. So this may be the top of the rally, but it's hard to predict based on what might be driving it to begin with. These speculators can unprecedentedly sell to take their profits or out of fear that the price could drop. Price is good for cotton growers, though, he said. He said Texas and Oklahoma cotton growers should not expect prices to necessarily continue climbing. Prices this time last year lingered in the 70 cent per pound range. Around two-thirds of the cotton is sold through a cooperative that pools their supplies and negotiates the best prices for members throughout the year, and this is in Texas. Cash offers are available to those with unsold cotton in the field or who have bales at gins that could fetch premium prices based on lint quality and grades. Many independent growers who lock the prices around 85 cents per pound may have seller's remorse, but Robinson said they did well, and I agree. The pricing opportunities are there for growers who have unsold cotton, he said. Hopefully they have good yields and can take advantage of this rally. It's a good year for them to pay off debt, invest in their operation, and save some money, especially producers who have had a tough last couple of years. He said there's always ways for producers to begin marketing or planning their for their commodities to protect their operation from the downside of potential prices in 2022. He said to focus on cotton, provide information and education on how to maximize price opportunity and hedge against potential losses. Consumers and cotton prices, despite some of these reports, he said higher cotton prices are not the reason consumers may see higher prices on cotton-dependent clothing and apparel. The 25 cents per pound rally might translate into millions of dollars for buyers and sellers of raw cotton, but does not add much to the cost of a t-shirt or a pair of jeans. The raw material is only a small part of the cost to create and market these products. Manufacturing, shipping, labor, and branding are like adding more to the production cost compared to cotton. Fuel prices are higher. There are fewer trucks moving products, and any disruptions to get finished products to the market will add to the cost of that. So, and it's very true. That's going on with, I think that's going on with everything. It's just Ray Shones. It's the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, I'll be processing deer. Well, that's so nice of you to say that that way, Ray. That's polite for you this time of the year. But anyway, so he will be processing deer. And if anybody else is out there processing deer, you want me to tell anybody about it out there, get after it. Ty Mendez, Ty's taxidermist, south of Sayre, he'll be doing it up to a certain point there. So anyway, he's got it going on. So there's your four that I rattled off, or three that I rattled off. I don't know if 54 over at Weatherford does it or not, but like I said, if anybody knows and they want to text that information into me, 225-9697. So looks like the cotton market's kind of leveled off and kind of declining slowly a little bit, but it'll be all right. Hay prices for the prices from last week looks like California and some places, Arizona didn't report in, but California and some of the other places that were in the drought, it looks like it's dropped slightly. And when I say slightly, I'm talking $10 a ton compared to what they were the week before last and have been all summer. But in California, premium alfalfa is $250 to $290 a ton. It was averaging around $300 for the best. The good quality grade is $205 to $270, but that's delivered. In Idaho, quality premium alfalfa is $250 to $260. In Kansas, $180 to $400, and I'm guessing, yep, that $400's delivered per ton. Minnesota, where they're in the drought part of the deal, they're $185 to $335 on premium, $120 to $160 on good. And then they're Montana. Yeah, they're still in the drought in Montana. $325 for premium, $300 for good, $250 to $275 for fair. New Mexico, $220 to $320 on premium, $165 to $200 on good, $135 to $165. Oklahoma, staying steady, $180 per ton on premium, $180 plus on that, $140 to $170 on good. Where else are we going to go? Let's go to Washington, $260 to $270 on premium, that's delivered, $240 on good. And Wyoming, $230 to $280 on premium. And then here we got some grass prices. We got, let's go with California, $240 on premium grass, Iowa, $180 to $190. Kansas, $125 to $140. This is all on premium good grass. And that's per ton. Minnesota, $165 to $185. Oklahoma, $140 to $160 on premium Bermuda grass. And then Nebraska's $140 to $200. Oregon, one of the drought states that's still in a severe, severe drought, $200 to $350. Pennsylvania, $315 to $320. Texas, $160 to $330. And there's your weekly prices on the hay. When I get back, I'll have the Long Ranger, and I got a few Texas to look at during the break, so we'll go with that, and we'll be back. We'll talk about our Long Range forecast, and we got some other good stuff going. Anyway, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, October 12th, we sold 858 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, October 14th, we sold 2,640 calves and feeders for a total of 3,498 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 64.5 to 75.50, with the thin cows bringing 40 to 62.5. Bulls bring 70 up to 85. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,000 up to 1,500, with their 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 800 to 1,275. 9 and older bred cows, 735 to 1,150. 2 to 8 year old pairs, 1,350 to 1,550. Feeders, steers, and heifers, steady to 4 higher. Steer calves, 3 to 5 higher. Honor steer cattle, 3 to 358 steers, 180 to 210. 4 to 450, 160 to 179, 5 to 550, 151 to 166, 6 to 650, 139 to 161, 7 to 750, 140 to 158, 8 to 850, 151 to 156.75, 9 to 950 steers, 145 to 153.75, and 21 steers weighing 1,000 to 141. Hunter heifers, 350 to 4 weight heifers, 154 to 161, 4 to 450, 132 to 146.5, 5 to 550, 133 to 149, 6 to 650, 132 to 145, 7 to 750, 130 to 144, 8 to 850, 125.5 to 130, and our 9 to 950 average, 127 to 132. For this Tuesday, October 19th, we will have 160 bred cows and a few pairs off of them. We got 40 other bred cows and pairs. More by sell time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back to the last segment of the show. And what is it? It is 12:47. We got 13 minutes left. Cool. We got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and currently right now it's 64 degrees. The wind is out of the north, 21 miles an hour, gusting up to 29. Today we're going to get up to a whopping 66 degrees. Tonight, clear and 39. We're going to, some areas down there, probably along the low-lying areas along the river and creeks, probably going to get a frost, but tomorrow 72 degrees with no wind at all. It's light is what they're saying. Tomorrow night 43, not as chilly as tonight. Sunday 74, Monday 75, partly cloudy Monday on top of that, and then Tuesday sunny and 81. I looked at the real long ranger on my phone while ago on the mezzanet, and looks like everything's going to kind of get back to normal next Tuesday with no tornadoes or blizzards or anything coming our way. So we should be getting a lot of work done with peanut, cotton harvest, and finish up any late rye and wheat, true to cow sowing. Man, it looks beautiful out there. There is all kinds of wheat pasture growing. These rains were just perfect for the most part. Last night in the eastern part of our listening area in eastern Kiowa and Caddo County down in there, they got some more rain last night, and that storm blew up right where Lacey said it was going to. It developed right past us, and we're good with rain right now. So anyway, congratulations to you guys that got that rain. I hope nothing got washed out. But hey, since it is hunting season, I come across this really cool article written by Tiffany Dowell Lazmet. She is a agriculture law specialist for the Texas AgriLife Extension and recently spoke to the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association on a talk. She says the first step in leasing hunting rights is to make sure you have a written lease laying out all the rights, responsibilities, and limits for anyone who might be hunting on that land. She said, make sure there is a lease in writing. I know in agriculture we're not always the best at that, but it's really important to write it down, and it truly really is. You need it all wrote down. She says it's important that each person hunting on the property signs a lease to make sure the landowner is protected if anything happens or damages occur. Every hunting lease is different, but she says there are a few key items to keep in mind when drafting this document. One thing to be clear about, she says, is who, the who, when, and where, and what it pertains to hunting. She added, ranchers also needed to consider a liquidated damage clause to protect their livestock and assets. A liquidated damages clause, she explains, is an upfront agreement to pay a set amount for any damages that may occur. It ensures then that there will be no dispute between the landowner and the hunter over the amount who will owe for the damages. Instead of fighting over the worth of a cow, if she gets shot, both parties could agree up front over what will be owed as damages. Other important aspects, as she said, is to consider alcohol use, altering vehicles, open flames, or rules about gates being left open or closed. She says the rancher needs to address everything related to their livestock or property in this lease to ensure hunters are aware of the regulations and expectations. You want to be careful and make sure the hunters know exactly what you want, like with the gates, for example. So there's something to help you guys out with hunting season here, because there used to be a lot of handshakes, stop by and asking permission. And out of 10 good hunters, there's always the one. There's that one. And it makes it rough. They leave their trash. They leave their shells laying, or they keep the gate open, or just... It just never ending. There's always that one person. So get it down in writing. Because I remember when I was working down on the border on the Rio Grande down there, west Laredo, south of Carrizo, there was an agreement. And of course, it's the biggest ranch in Texas. And it was $15,000 for a cow, $10,000 for a calf. I think it was $15,000 or $20,000 for a bull. But get this, if you hit one of their deer, it was like $25,000 minimum, depending on what it scored. There was a clause in there on the scoring, $25,000 if you hit one of their buck deer. And it was stupid. So the oil company I was working for, of course, they had the ranch posted at 20 miles an hour. They had hidden cameras out there with where they can detect your speed, and you follow the rules. I mean, that's pretty expensive. So anyway, it just amounts to that. It's just got so many people on that ranch at one time, anything can happen. So it's the way that was. Well, one other thing, pulled by strong meat prices, September food prices were 4.6% higher than a year ago, said the Labor Department on Wednesday. The monthly consumer price index report said the annual U.S. inflation rate was 5.4% in September, compared with 5.3% in August. Energy and food showed large increases from the past month, but prices for used cars fell. There was a factor in the previous monthly increases and remains 24% higher than a year ago. The energy index rose 24.8% over the last 12 months, and the food index increased 4.6% over that period. Among grocery items, the index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs were up 10.5% from September of last year of 2020. The index for beef rose 17.6% over the year, said the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The smallest increase was for dairy and related complex, which rose 0.06% over the last 12 months. So there is your report on that. And then here we go. Remember, tomorrow, 11 to 2, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic on South Main, Dr. Taylor Mouse and her group will be there, and they'll be having lunch, open house. Come see their facilities. She's redone a lot of them. She's doing lots of breeding there, AI-ing, and I don't want to go into the embryo stuff and stuff because I know she's capable of doing it, but I don't know how she wanted me to, how she would want me to tell about that. But also, she came out yesterday, and her team of ladies and I, we preg checked those 8 heifers in less than 15 minutes and wormed them, and it was smooth operation. I had them pretty much sorted except for one or two before she got there, and she come help me sort that last one or two out, and then I missed one. Take this. I turned them all out before she got there except for the ones I was wanting to sort, and I missed one. It was out in the pasture, so she and I walked out there looking for it, and that girl just happened to be headed towards the gate thinking there was more cake in that pen, and we got her out of there and didn't even have to sort her. So it was all fun, but they did a great job. One young lady ran the head gate. The other one did all the writing and the worming. And, of course, Dr. Mouse did the preg checks, and I was the grunt back there in the little pen. Anybody who was going to get stomped or hurt, it was going to be me. But they did an excellent job. Well, speaking of veterinarians, this is an article you guys need to listen to on bull infertility. Any good cattleman knows a quality bull is the cornerstone of a profitable cattle operation. Finding the perfect herd bull takes time and effort to identify, purchase, and manage. Not to mention, a bull is oftentimes the herd's largest investment. And that's a true fact. They have gone up, but you don't have nothing unless you have them. According to longtime veterinarian Gary Warner out of Elgin, Texas, ensuring bull health through a regular breeding soundness exams, vaccines, and proper nutrition and frequent evaluation is the best path forward to where it comes to fertility. Okay, so last year, or this year actually, remember what happened during the cold front? We had numerous bulls that didn't test or had their testicles frozen, wasn't any good. I got a question for anybody out there that wants to text me an answer. So it's always had cold spells up until 10 or 15 years ago like that. I remember during the 80s and the 90s, December, January, whatever. We got cold as we did this year. But up north, they get this cold and stay this cold. How is it that this one little two-week deal in our area caused bull problems when those guys up north in Kansas, Nebraska, the Dakotas, they're in this weather all the time, and they never have this big issue? Why is that? I know there's a vet out there listening. Let me know. There's some smart guy out there with an IQ of 60, or 160, sorry, to talk about that. What do you guys think? Why would it be any different this two-week cold spell we had? But he said it's a small price to pay, but they have to look at the veterinarians as an insurance policy for their bull's health and performance. His opinion should not be taken lightly, because after 40 years' experience at his practice at Elgin and a background in ranching, Warner has seen bull infertility issues cause significant economic hardships to ranchers and farmers. Well, he said there's four different things to look at. Breeding soundness exams is common for people to visit their doctor for an annual wellness check. The appointment can seem burdensome, but a significant issue is found, they gladly went. Same thing for the bulls, he says. He said, number two, lameness. is often overlooked but not less important component of reproductive soundness is foot health, and ranchers are taking notice. Warner says the primary interest of his clients is to make sure that your bull is sound on his feet. And that's true. You don't want a lame bull. Number three. Where'd number three go here? Oh, there we go. Penile warts. Primary a problem for yearling bulls, penile warts can also be seen as maturity bulls render. And then the other one, the last one but not least, is heat stress. Keep your bulls calm, cool, and make sure they got plenty of fresh water and shade during the summer, because if they're stressed, they ain't going to do you no good. So anyway, well, you guys have a great weekend, and God bless. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mix of music.
Really good music.
Let's go.
Let's go!
This is KECO, Elk City.
This is a Fox News alert. Back-to-back votes for boosters on Lisa Brady. An FDA advisory panel just giving its blessing to a Johnson & Johnson COVID booster shot.
We do have 19 out of 19 unanimous yes votes. This
just a day after voting to recommend a Moderna booster for certain high-risk groups similar to the Pfizer booster. Johnson & Johnson is the only single-dose COVID vaccine, so their booster will be a second shot. The recommendation is to offer it at least 2 months after the first one, the final decision up to the FDA and a CDC panel. Dozens of scientists and other workers at the Los Alamos National Lab face an afternoon deadline to comply with that facility's vaccine mandate. A judge in New Mexico today denying their request to block the mandate. The workers claiming it violated their constitutional rights and was creating a hostile work environment. The lab said last week more than 96% of workers already had at least one shot. The Biden administration is taking Texas back to the nation's highest court over its new abortion law.
For the second time in as many months, justices at the Supreme Court are being asked to block enforcement of a Texas law banning most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. An appeals court left a law in place earlier this week in a 2-1 decision. That lower court panel has said it will expedite an appeal and arguments on an underlying challenge. The Justice Department is now appealing, asking the Supreme Court to put the law on hold for the time being. Last month, the Supreme Court allowed the law to go into effect, but that decision did not make a judgment on the constitutionality. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The man accused of killing 17 people at a Florida high school more than 3 years ago now plans to plead.